You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So today I'm going to minister on hold on to God. Hold on to God. You might feel that your strength has just gone, but God promises to give us strength. Amen? Give power and strength to those that are weak. This year started with a bang and you feel like, gee, I just need a holiday. And the holiday is just gone. Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, He gives power to the weak. Amen? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord, God gives an assurance to strengthen you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your tremendous grace. Thank you for your word that brings light and life, O Father. Even as I share today, let your people hear your voice upon my voice and touch hearts, prepare hearts, O Father, to believe like never before, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible that makes all things possible. And we give you praise for that. Stir up faith in the hearts of people as you lift up their spirits, Father. Strengthen them in their inner man to run for you in this year like never before. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God wants to manifest His strength in your weakness so that He can take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. So just because you feel weak, or you look at your situation, you say, how's everything going to work out? Is no reason to give up. Because as we hold on to God, God gives us this promise. As we wait upon Him, He will strengthen us. Can I just say, be fervent. Have tenacity. Say, God, I'm not going to let go. Wait, wait, wait until you see the fullness of what God has promised you. And don't change your confession. Don't change what you believe, but know that God will fulfill everything concerning you. Everybody has moments of weakness. Can I see your hand? Everybody has moments of weakness. Being weak is not a sin. When you feel weak, you should know who you can run to, the one that is stronger than you. Because those who wait on the Lord, they will have their strength renewed. So hold on to God. Even when things don't make sense, you don't know how things are going to work out, just hold on to God. If you want the Lord's name to be glorified in you and with you and through you, the Bible makes it very clear that you're going to have to face some challenges. One amen. Thank you for that. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. There's going to be a lion's den. There's going to be a pit. There might be a fiery furnace. But God's name will be glorified. Go ask Esther, ask Joseph, ask Daniel. They'll tell you, even in the palace, you have to hold on to God. You need God in the pit and you need God in the palace. When it's going great, you need to hold on to God because all high places are slippery places. And when you're in the valley, you have to hold on to God. Joshua said to the Israelites in Joshua 23, verse 8. This is after they've received the promise. They've entered into the promised land. It's towards the end of Joshua. He says, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. The Passion Translation says, as you have done until now, cling tightly to Yahweh. Cling tightly to Yahweh. They've received the promise. He says, keep on holding on to God. We sing the song often here in the church, Bambalela, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. We hold on to Jesus in the good times and hold on to Jesus in the tough times. Jesus is Lord in the hard times and Jesus is Lord in the good times. Amen? Joshua is saying to them, after they've received the victory, hold on to God. Many people only want to hold on to God when they go through a tough time. But when things start going better, they let go. You need to hold on to Jesus in the good times, and you need to hold on to Jesus in the hard times. In this year, hold on to Jesus. Turn to the person next to you, say, I'm going to hold on to Jesus. Hebrews 3 verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hold fast to the confidence. What does that mean? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You have to hold on to Jesus through faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that confidence? The confidence is what Jesus has done on the cross. Knowing that he's paid the price in full. And you hold on to that confidence. You're holding on to Jesus himself. Amen? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Laid his life down? Psalm 103. Verse 2 to 4, says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Says, do not forget the benefits in serving him who forgives your sins, your iniquities, who heals your diseases. Amen? Who redeems your life from destruction. When you are holding on to Jesus, you are holding on to life, you are holding on to deliverance, you are holding on to salvation, you are holding on to healing. It's important that we hold on to God in everything. Those that diligently see God, they'll see the reward of that. Turn to the person next to you and say, hold on to Jesus. When you hold on to Jesus, it's not weakness. It is just you remaining in faith and say, God, I'm not going to change my confession. I'm not going to change my prayer. I'm going to continue to believe and hold on to you until I see the full manifestation of it. Purpose in your heart this year that you're going to hold on to God. Amen? Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 32 verse 26. And if you can, I want you to underline this. I love the attitude of Jacob. Verse 26, and he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Wow. Can you imagine? That's the attitude of Jacob while wrestling with God. He knew that if God does not bless him, he cannot face his brother. He knew that if God does not bless him, he cannot move forward into what God has got for him. We hold on by faith to the promises that God has given us. Jacob understood, he knew he needed God to manifest his strength in his weakness. He was not even aware that God was there. Sometimes we feel like God is not there. Can I see a hand or double blink at me? But even when you feel like that, God is there. Amen? Don't change your confession. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, but he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. I'm not going to preach on Jacob wrestling. But sometimes the thing that you are wrestling with, you're going to have to give it to God so you can have victory over it. Just ask yourself on your own, what are you wrestling with? Because faith is acknowledging what you already have. So then the real question is, what are you really wrestling with? But he knew that if he did not receive a blessing from God, holding on to God, he could not face his brother. Because what did his brother say? His brother said, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. Some of you have to face things this year that you know could be life-threatening. That's why you need the blessing of God so you can enter into this year with God next to you. He had to go back because he made a vow. Have you made any promises to God about 2026, you're going to have to fulfill them. You're going to have to keep your word if you made a promise to God. And that's what Jacob did. He had made a promise to God. Genesis 28 verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Jacob knew he had to keep his promises. Turn to the person next to you and say, keep your promises you made to God. My advice actually is don't be quick to make promises to God. Let your yes just be yes and your no, no. But if you've made a promise to God, a vow to God, like we all do, keep it. He wanted peace on his journey. Do you want peace on your journey in this year? Keep your vows, hold on to God. He held on, he did not let go, and God blessed him. When God blessed him, everything changed. His name changed, everything started to change. And when he met with his brother, Esau, where Esau purposed in his heart he was going to kill him, he met him with a brotherly kiss, hugged him, and there was peace. When a man's ways pleases God, he even allows his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16 verse 7, when the Lord is pleased with the decisions you've made, he activates grace to turn enemies into friends. That's the Passion Translation. And that's what happened. Peace. Peace. Why? Because he was holding on to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, hold on to God. He knew God was the one person that could bless him. The one person whose blessing will bring change in his life. And everything started to change. When God blesses you, you change from the inside out. Can I say this? How do you hold on to God? By refusing to let go of the promises that God has given you. Hold on to them. Hebrews 10 verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Faithfully believe that God will do what he has promised, and don't let go. Didn't say, God, how are you going to make it work? Are you going to talk to Esau? Will you send an angel to him like you've sent one to me? Sometimes we want to know exactly how God is going to do it. Am I talking to the right people? I think if God showed us all the steps, we would never take a step. But God says, take that step, because God's word is a lamp unto your feet. And as you take that step in the right direction, the light moves and you know what's the next thing to do. But some of you, if you knew what step 5 and 6 was, you would turn around and not go any further. Am I talking to the right people here? Today's generation wants a light to shine down the right path, the whole path. God, how are you going to do it? Do you think if Paul saw everything that was going to happen to him, that he would just run the race? Sometimes it's good that some of you are in the dark, but you're keeping your eyes on the light. Amen? Like somebody said to me, I can see the light in the tunnel, and the good news is I'm serving the light. Amen? The light is the one that's leading and guiding us. He had an attitude, God, I love you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the solution. Thank you, Lord, that you are busy working out everything when I don't understand how it's going to fall in place. How do we hold on to God? How do we hold on to God? Number one, through our confession, declaring the promises of God. Can I just say this? Don't draw back. Hebrews 10 verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Turn to the person next to you and say, hold on. How do we hold on? We hold on through our confession. We hold on through saying and declaring the promises. Joshua 1 verse 8, let the word of God be in your mouth. Let it be in your heart. Say it to observe and do it, and then God will make your ways successful. Don't change your confession. Amen? Your confession is the thing that will give you possession. David didn't change his confession on the battlefield. By faith, hold on. Don't let go of that rebellious child, mommy and daddy. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to that child. Hold on to that marriage. Hold on to that promise of a child. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hold on to the promise of a child. Promise of a good future that God has given you. Don't change your confession. Don't let go. Turn to the person next to you and say, hold on. How do we hold on? We hold on by praying. When you pray, you tighten your grip on what God has promised you. When you communicate with God, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. When you are praying and you're bringing it before God, tightening the grip. That rebellious child that you are praying for, that marriage that you are praying for, that baby that you are trusting God for, maybe that breakthrough in your business, whatever it is, hold on and don't let go. The beautiful thing is we think we are holding on to God, but God is the one holding on to us. When you hold on to God, God holds on to you. When you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. How do we do that? You draw near to God, you hold on to God in humility and sincerity of heart. It is the humble heart that draws near to God, not the person that says, I'm just going to hold on to God. Who are those who cannot hold on to God? I can tell you now, people that are self-righteous cannot hold on to God. When you are self-righteous, you cannot. When you are haughty, when you are puffed up, high-minded, the only way you can hold on to God is in humility and sincerity of heart. Am I talking to the right people here? You cannot just say, I'm going to hold on to God. God is God. If you want to hold on to God, it's in humility and sincerity of heart. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then you can resist the devil. Then you can draw close to God. Self-righteousness cannot draw close to God. But when our righteousness is in Christ Jesus, it's easy to draw close. As a matter of fact, when Jesus becomes your righteousness, His eyes are upon you. His ears are attentive to your prayer. That's how you hold on to Jesus. In humility and sincerity of heart. Look at this scripture. Hebrews 22 verse 4. By humility and the fear of God are riches and honor and life. Humility. Humility. God, your way, not my way. Through humility and the fear of God. Fear of God is to hate sin. Turn to the person that you say, hate sin. And if you sin, go on. And if you sin, repent. Sin, but is it really sin? If this book says it's sin, it's sin. And if it's sin, we have to repent. You have to repent. You have to say, sorry, Jesus, forgive me. Wash me with your blood, sanctify me, and cleanse me. If you don't repent, there's no forgiveness. Jesus came to this earth to make a way for us, but it's still His way. David, when he had sinned, when he realized he had sinned, he repented immediately before God and the people. Can I just say this? Private sin, private confession. So if I have a disagreement with my wife or with a colleague, and it's a private matter, then I can go to her privately and say, please forgive me. But public sin, public confession. That's how it works. Private sin, private confession. Public sin, public confession. If you want change. Otherwise, you can hold on to that sin, become a partaker of that sin, and the end of sin is death. And we want life and life in abundance. Through humility and the fear of the Lord, there's life. Amen? Jesus came to this earth to give us life and life in abundance. He came to seek and save those that are lost. As a matter of fact, He came not to be served, He came to serve us. That's His attitude. He came to this earth to hold on to us so that we can hold on to Him. Let me close with this. Holding on to Jesus is not something that's passive, but it's active. It's active. Wait on the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to let go of this promise. I'm holding on. How do I hold on? By confessing it, by saying it, declaring it, by praying. When you pray, you tighten your grip. But then making sure that the posture of your heart is in such a way that you can approach God in humility and sincerity of heart, not in arrogance. We're not here to tell God what to do. We're here to receive instruction in righteousness from Him. Jacob was both willing and obedient. That's what Isaiah 1 verse 19 says. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Not just the willingness to do it, but actually putting it out into action. The problem that we have in the church is she's educated beyond her obedience. We know everything. We've attended all the conferences, but are we doing it? We know we have to forgive, but are we forgiving? We know we should protect our hearts and not get offended, but are we protecting our hearts? When the Son of Man returns, will you really find faith? Faith working through love. People holding on to Him in humility and sincerity of heart. Ask yourself, as this year started, what have I been holding on to? People hold on to different things. People can hold on to money, hold on to a spouse, hold on to their children, hold on to a career, hold on to a position, hold on to a title. But we should be holding on to God. Because when we hold on to God, we know there's lasting results. Jacob felt that God was not there, but God was there. Family, listen to me. The promise, Romans 8 verse 28, the promise without excluding anything or anybody is that everything works together for the good of those who love Him. Do you love Him? When you love Him and you put Him first, I assure you, God is busy working out everything. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm holding on until you bless me. Because if you don't bless me and your favor and your presence and your goodness and your mercy does not rest upon me, I cannot meet my brother. I'm dead. But when God had blessed him, everything changed about him, the way he walked, even his name. And God changes us from the inside out. And he could meet his brother, not demanding anything, but there was peace because God had blessed him. Hold on and don't let go of the blessing. Jacob received the blessing because he was persistent. He could have let go, but he says, God, I'm going to hold on. I'm not letting go. And God brought him back to Bethel, a place of blessing. And there everything changed. You know what's part of the promise that he made God? The vow that he made. He performed the vow. Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Look at the next verse. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Look at that relationship. He says, God, I know you're the one who's blessing me because I'm holding on to you. And because you bless me in this way, I'm going to honor you with a tenth. Thank you for that one. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let me tell you something. He kept the vow. Remember, if God was not with him, his uncle would have taken everything that he'd worked for. He said, if God was not with me, surely everything that I've worked for, you would have taken away. But now God has taken notice of me. God was holding on to him. Let me tell you something. What you've worked for that you think people will just take, when God is with you and he blesses you, he'll restore all of that back to you. But will you perform the vow like Jacob did and honor God with a tenth? When you make a vow, make sure to perform it. When you make a vow to God and you have an encounter with God, your life is going to change. You want God to bless you. When God blesses you, he blesses you from the inside out. That means everything on the inside is going to start to change. You're going to behave like a blessed person, walk like a blessed person, give like a blessed person, help like a blessed person, pray like a blessed person. Jacob was not the one holding on to God, but God was holding on to him. In the end of the day, when we walk, you've seen the story of the footsteps, and it becomes one. And the person thinks, I was walking on my own, but that's the place where Jesus is carrying us. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says, I will hold you with my righteous right hand. It's his hand of authority. Not only does God hold your future, but he holds you in his righteous right hand. John 10, 28 says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. God will not allow anybody to snatch you out of his hand. He's holding you in a firm grip. Don't you let go of God. Deuteronomy 4 verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Let me tell you something, family, men, husbands, as you hold on to God, it brings life into your family. Amen? Hold on to God and see what God will do. I want to close with this last thought. Purpose in your heart to hold on to God. In this year, in the hard times, hold on to God. In the good times, hold on to God. When he's given you the victory and you've possessed the promised land, hold on to God like you've done right from the beginning. Continue to hold on to him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you hold on to God, you'll realize you're not actually holding on to him. God is the one that's holding you in his righteous right hand. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ. Loving God, loving people.